was only 30 seconds. Uncomfortable yet? I know I was. I made myself count because I knew I'd never make it if I didn't. We're not really used to silence these days, are we? And now with our children back in children's church, it was even quieter than we're used to. We live a life that has constant background noise. Music and the radio, but even beyond that, you walk outside, there's airplane noise, there's car noise, there's emergency vehicles going by, people blasting their stereos. We rarely experience silence. Ever since I started working on this sermon, a sermon about listening, I've been hearing the topic pop up everywhere, the need to be a better listener, the need for more peace in life. Sorry. And one of those things that came up was the other night I was driving home, and there was a show on the radio about an acoustic ecologist who was, his goal in life is to preserve silence, to preserve spaces in our country that are void of any outside noise besides nature. So just human-created noise is what, you know, if you can get rid of that, that's what he calls silence. This acoustic ecologist, his name is Gordon Hempton. I never heard of such a job, but this is what he does. He's an acoustic ecologist. And a lot of what he does is he takes a machine around to different parts of the country or different parts of the world and records sounds of nature. And they showed some of these on the show, so I went and got the podcast and downloaded it. And if the CD is ready, I want to show you guys one of the sounds that he recorded. It's just absolutely beautiful. So we can get that played.
Offer.
Let's listen to a few. This is a sound compilation that you recorded. Sunrises on all the continents, excluding Antarctica. You put it together. Here's the tune of a global sunrise. What do you hear?
Isn't that beautiful? Global sunrise. Let's have prayer. Lord, you've created this amazing nature for us, and sometimes we just have a hard time listening to it. Give us your peace and comfort today as we learn how to listen to you better. Amen. So this acoustic ecologist has written a book. It's called, I don't think I actually wrote the title down, but I believe it's One Square Inch of Silence. And he actually has gone out into Olympic National Park in Washington, and he went to where he found a place that he called Silent. And when it was about three miles from the visitor's center. And he took a little rock and he put it on a stone. And he said, that's my square inch of silence and I'm gonna preserve this. The idea being, if you think about how far noise can travel, I mean, how high up is a jet traveling and we could hear the airplanes in the sky. So he figured if he can preserve silence here, that silence will permeate just as far as noise will permeate. So if he can make it silent here, that silence will spread itself throughout more, and he can have more silence in this area. He said when he started his journey in doing this, there were 21 places in the state of Washington that had a minimum of 15 minutes of silence, 21 different places, and this was back in like 1984. And now, today, he has only found about a dozen in the United States that have 15 minutes. In all the national parks and everything, 15 minutes of silence. A dozen in the U.S. alone. That's it. The average amount of silence for our national parks is 5 minutes. We go to these nature places and we still can't get away from noise for more than 5 minutes. Here's a quote that I found really interesting. It says, "The day will come when man will have to fight noise as inexorably as cholera or plague." That was given by the Nobel Prize-winning bacteriologist Robert Koch in 1905. 1905, he was worried about the level of noise, and I think it may have grown since then. As a matter of fact, the number of children with hearing loss has doubled in the past 20 years because of our level of exposure to noise. And background noise affects a lot of listening. I don't think I'll be bothering him when I say, you know, Gary, that's one of the things that we talk about a lot in staff is how to balance out the church service without too much background noise, because people with hearing loss have a hard time picking out individual noises if there's music playing in the background and things of that nature, and Gary is always keeping us sensitive to that. How important is it in a relationship to be able to listen, to be able to hear? I think we all know in relationships that listening is one of those key things. You know, you talk about when you're young, what do you want in a spouse someday? You want someone who can listen to you. A good friend is somebody who listens. That's one of the main things. Listening is pretty important. And in our marriages, you're not listening to me. Listen, you know, we might say that to our spouse. Listening is important. I can be a pretty bad listener. I have the ability to be a pretty bad listener. I'm a good talker, not always a good listener, and I'm fully aware of that. A lot of you know I just recently did this chaplaincy course at Loma Linda, and part of it is a large part of the course wasn't just in visiting patients. It was working within a class about working on our own interpersonal relationship skills, and we had to make a covenant at the beginning, and we had to choose a topic that we wanted to be better at. And the main thing that I chose was I wanted to not just appear to listen to people, but actually get better at listening, because there's a big difference. And my husband can, not very many people can call me out on it, but Adam can. He can tell when my eyes are still looking at him, my body's still facing him, everything about me says listening, but my brain is way over there. He knows it. And that's what I mean by I can really appear to listen. But am I really listening? I know I've done that to some of you here, and I actually want to apologize from the bottom of my heart. Sometimes when my brain's going with a lot of stuff going on, you'll be talking to me, and my brain's over here, and then I'll just walk to go somewhere else, or you want to talk, and I have to go do this, and I have to go do this, and it's not a good quality. I apologize, and I want to be a better listener. And if you catch me doing that, just say, hey, are you listening? I appreciate it. You guys can help me grow as a Christian. Listening is really important. In life, a lot of times we'll talk about, are you listening to me? We'll say that to people. And when we say that to children, we mean obey. You know, listen to me. What we mean by listen to me is do what I'm telling you. And when we think about what it means to listen to God, I think a lot of times we think of that about obeying. If you look at your text for today with me, let's go to Luke 6 in our Bibles. And I didn't write down the page number from the Pew Bibles. If somebody knows that page number, actually, it's probably in the bulletin. No, is it? Oh, there it is, 862. If you go to page 862. I said no PowerPoint for the sermon, Daniel. This is last minute, but could you put it up on the screen for me? Because I want to read your version, and I have a different version in front of me. And I think the version we have here is, there we go. It says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also, and from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic also. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. It's a big list of to-dos. Right? It sounds kind of tedious, all these things we have to do. Well, I read it recently, but I read it in a different version. And I think both versions are accurate. I'm not talking about original language here. I'm just talking about how sometimes when you read something in a new version of the Bible, it strikes you in a new way. Have you ever had that happen? You've heard this text a million times, and then all of a sudden you read it in a different version, and oh, I see that, and it really hits you in a new way. Well, when I read this for the first time, in verse 27, instead of it saying, but to you who hear, it said, but I say to you who are listening. And I went, listening. That puts a different spin on it to me. What does it mean to listen? I think listening implies relationship. That's why we listen. When we listen to somebody, if somebody matters to me, I'm much more likely to listen to what they have to say. If I care about someone, I'm going to listen to them. If I don't know someone at all, if I don't respect them, I may not really listen to them. Is that right? You see the difference between, you know, just hearing and listening? I want to ask you here, how many of you here have ever, and a little show of hands if you feel comfortable, have, you can say you've heard God speak to you in some way, not necessarily audibly, but you've heard God speak to you. It's pretty common. Now, you don't raise your hand for this one, but I want you to think, you know, how many of you can say, I've never really heard God speak? I know that happens to a lot of people. But here's one that I think we can all identify with. How many here have felt that God has been most silent when we've most needed an answer? Have you ever felt like that? That you, when you've really, really been seeking, you're really struggling and you're just going after that answer, and that's when you feel like God is just silent? It's a difficult thing, and the question comes up, why do we listen? And I think often the reason we listen from God is because we want something from God. I think that that's often the main reason we try to listen is because we want something. When I look in the Bible, I see God speaking often. That's, I mean, that's what the Bible is, right? It's God's word to us. But beyond that, in the stories, we see God speaking often. See, God is not a silent God. And God, when God has something to say, it comes through. I think about the story of Balaam. And for those of you who don't know the story, it's just a really interesting story about a prophet of God who God sent on a mission, and he was going against what God wanted him to do. So God he was on his donkey, and God put an angel in the path of the donkey. So the angel went one way, I mean, the donkey went off the path, and Balaam hits him back. And then the angel gets in the way of the donkey, and the donkey can see the angel, but Balaam can't see the angel. So the donkey goes up against the cliff wall and smashes Balaam's leg, and he hits the donkey again. Three times this happens until Balaam hits the donkey again, and the donkey turns around and said, "Why have you hit me three times?" God speaks when he wants to say something. If God can use a donkey, God does not have a hard time speaking. I just love the image of just, and what's even funnier is Balaam turns around and argues with the donkey. He says, "Well, you're not doing what I tell you." It's just hilarious to me. I don't know, if a donkey turned around and talked to me, I don't know if my first response would be to argue with him. God has no problem speaking up. But why does God speak? See, something that I've seen, you know, we're all created in the image of God, right? And there's a lot of debate over what that means. When I look in the Bible, God doesn't just speak for no reason. That's one way I know I'm not created in the image of God. God did create me talkative, but that may not be exactly how God is. God speaks for a reason. Every time God opens his mouth to speak to us. What is that reason? I'd like you to open your Bibles with me to Psalm 81, and this is on page 492 in your Bibles. All right. Could somebody tell me, great, we're a small group today. Somebody tell me what the title of that psalm says. Anybody? Psalm 81. Does it say, do our Bibles not have a title? I saw this. There we go. Thank you. Oh, that my people would listen to me. That's the title of this psalm. Now let's read through it a little bit. Verse 8. Hear, O my people, while I admonish you, O Israel, if you would but listen to me. Verse 11. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe toward him, and their fate would last forever. But he would feed you with the finest of wheat, and with honey from the rock I would satisfy you. Oh, that my people would listen to me. God is speaking, or he wouldn't ask us to listen. And you can see here, listening here brings life. When we don't listen, he's not saying, I'm punishing. It says, I'll let you have your way. God speaks for a purpose, to bring life. I think about the story of Jonah in the Bible. Jonah was a prophet. That sounds like the Veggie Tales. Has anybody seen that one? Jonah was a prophet. All right, sorry. That's what I think of. He was asked to do something for God, and he didn't want to do it. So he ran away, which just cracks me up. We play hide and seek with Rue, and he's really bad at it. those of you that don't know, my son is 2 years old. And he'll go and stand in the middle of a room and just stand really still. And then we'll start in another room. Roo, are you in the bedroom? And we'll hear from the living room, no! Not so good at the hide-and-seek game. Jonah was trying to hide from an all-seeing God. And then, when things go wrong, he so desires to disobey. He has no desire to obey God. He does not want to listen to God. That he tells the boat that he's on, when there's this storm that he's sure is because God is following him, he says, throw me in. Now, we know what happens, right? He gets swallowed by this giant fish. Jonah didn't know that was going to happen. What Jonah was saying is, I'd rather die than obey God right now. Just throw me in the water. I want to die. And God said, nah, I'm not letting you off that easy. And has a fish swallow him. So Jonah eventually goes to where he obeys God and goes to preach to an evil people and to tell them to listen to God. And what do? They listen to God. They turn around and they give their lives to God. That's listening. Listening to God. Jonah, who thought he listened to God, thought he'd obeyed, kept waiting for the destruction. The destruction doesn't come, and he's mad at God. He obeyed God, but he didn't listen because he clearly didn't have the relationship with the real God, or he would have understood that this is a merciful God. He clearly didn't know God. Listening wasn't a part of his relationship with God. Listening and obeying are not the same thing. Relationship is what it's about, what listening brings. True listening comes from a place of longing, a great desire to hear someone. I was thinking about a friend of mine. A few years ago, I think I've mentioned him in a sermon before, a close friend of mine and his sister died in a car accident. And I went back east for his funeral, and he was, you know, I think he was 28 when he died, or somewhere in there, really young. And we all went back for his funeral, and we had all worked at summer camp with him, and the funeral was horribly sad, but amazingly comforting because we were all there together, mourning the loss of our friends. And as many of you have experienced, the hard part wasn't the funeral. It was leaving. It was going back home alone, away from all the people who had known and loved our friend. And I was sitting in the airport, going home, all by myself, missing my friend Nathaniel, when I thought of something. I thought of how much I'd like to hear his voice again. And I thought, he hasn't been that long since he died. And I picked up my phone and I called his cell phone, just to hear his voice on the voicemail. Just to hear that. Listening from a place of longing. That's what it is to really care, to really want to know God, to listen from a place of longing. Not because we want something from God, not because we have to have an answer, but just because we want to hear God's voice. That's what relationship is. If you look at Psalms 42 in the Bible, many of us know the psalm well. And it says, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul thirsts for you. I thirst for the living God. Where can I go to meet with him? To thirst for God, to long for God. That is what true listening is. Look back at your text with me, back on page 802 in your pew Bibles. This is a part of the Sermon on the Mount, one of the most famous sermons of Jesus. There is a huge crowd gathered to hear him. And what he's talking about is the kingdom of God. Kingdom talk is something the Jews of that day desperately wanted to hear. They wanted to hear about how they were going to be the greatest, how they were going to overcome the Romans, how this, you know, the Messiah had come to rescue them on earth. They had this earthly kingdom in mind where there was no more poverty, they didn't have to grovel, they didn't have to pay taxes, they were going to be the rulers. This is the kingdom they were looking for. That is why they were there today. They were there to hear Jesus say that. They weren't really there to listen to what Jesus had to say. What I love is what Jesus does here, though. Jesus could have come. He fully knew what was on their minds. And he could have come and said, hey, you're wrong. That's not why I'm here. That earthly kingdom, you're wrong, ain't gonna happen, and just crushed all their hopes. He didn't do that. Instead of crushing their hopes, he painted a beautiful picture. And this picture, he gave them an image of what a world looks like when people listen to God. And in that world, people do good to those who hate them and bless those that curse them. If anyone takes their cloak, they offer their coat as well. They love their enemies. They give to those who ask. They show mercy just as God shows mercy. What Jesus is doing here isn't tearing down their hopes. He's painting them a picture of what real relationship with God looks like, what the real kingdom he's offering is. The kingdom he's offering is a life lived in relationship with God, so much more beautiful than anything they had imagined. Wouldn't you love to live in the world that Jesus is painting there, where everyone had that attitude? There would be no war. There would be no argument. There would be no poverty, because everyone would be giving to each other. What Christ is saying is, listen to me. And in order to listen, we have to seek that real relationship with God. We have to know who God is in order to listen. You only know somebody's voice if you know who they are. I have my beautiful 3-month-old baby, and he is very much a mama's boy. He can be screaming his head off for Adam, and Adam is a very good dad. He's not the kind of dad that holds baby out here and doesn't quite know what to do. Adam is really into holding and cuddling, and Finn knows mom. And so no matter how much he's screaming his head off, I can pick Finn up and whisper in his ear with my voice, and Finn can calm right down because he knows my voice. We have to know who we're listening to in order to know how to listen. When we focus on the to-do list, I have to love those who don't love me, I need to give up my clothes, I have to give more money, I have to give. That's not a relationship, and that's not what God's saying, because the very first verse says, I say to you who are listening, to those of you who live in relationship with me, our focus first has to be on God. When we focus on ourselves, on our actions, no good comes of it. We become bitter and resentful, even manipulative, to try and do things the right way to get what we want out of it. But when we focus on God, that list is what comes of it. I say to you who are listening to me, to those of you who live in relationship with me, God says, this is what will come of it. Don't worry about making that a checklist. It's not. First, seek me. Seek a relationship with me. That is the beauty of a relationship with God. In our world of noise, do we know how to listen to God, to seek that relationship? We want to do. We're very much into acting. How do I act? How do I do? What do I go out and do all the time? How comfortable are you with just sitting and listening? I feel like a lot of us are just tired. I know I am. I'm getting up multiple times a night with a little baby. I know a lot of you have a lot going on in your lives. Sleep has become such a lack of a priority for many of us. Quiet is almost unheard of. And I want to give you a chance. We started off this sermon with 30 minutes of awkward silence. I want to end with a minute of peaceful silence. I want to give you a minute. It may have been a long time since any of you have had a minute of silence. And in this minute, I don't want you to try to think about anything. I want you to close your eyes and just invite God to be with you. Don't try to pray. Don't try to say anything. Don't try to accomplish a thing for a full minute. It's going to seem like a long time in this setting. But don't try to do anything. This is going to be the benediction today. I just want you to be with God for a full minute. Just breathe and let God's presence fill you. And as that happens, notice a sense of peace come over you and think about the fact of a minute is not that long. Where in your life can you fit 1 minute of silence? It's a place to start, at least. Let's bow our heads.